about evil thoughts. If you look at just a couple of scriptures that I put up here, that in the days of Noah, right before the flood, it said that the imaginations of the thoughts of men's heart were evil continually, that they continuously had evil thoughts on their mind. That's why God sent a flood to destroy the world, because man's mind was just filled with a bunch of wicked and corrupted and evil thoughts.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the first half of Lord, Help Me to Not Have These Evil Thoughts. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Lord, Help Me to Not Have These Evil Thoughts.
And today we want to look at this particular subject, and that is, Lord, help me not to have these evil thoughts. Many of us have evil thoughts. Okay, you can go ahead with that video.
What it is, Jive Turkeys, I'm going to give you the lowdown on those things in your head that are often unsaid, and if others heard them, your face would be red. I'm talking about thoughts. Can you dig it? We all have a lot of thoughts in our heads, and most of them are groovy, but some of them are downright funkadelic. You may not be hip to it, but your thoughts matter to our dynamite God, and He doesn't want your mind full of sinful thoughts that are a real drag and can tempt you to sin. Catch my drift? Don't be square to the jive that's getting down in your melon. Keep it righteous, and don't jones for some other cat's old lady, and your thoughts will be far out. I'll catch you on the flip side.
Amen. What a way. What a way to get started today, right? Talking about our thoughts. And sometimes our thoughts take us to places where we shouldn't go. Brother Scott, can you give me my... It's down there. Thank you. Sometimes they take us to places that we shouldn't go. And so as we think about the brain and our thoughts, when you look at the brain and our thoughts, if you go to that next slide, there you go. The brain weighs about 3 pounds, and it stores more information than the Library of Congress. The brain is the house for our thoughts. Every person has about 10,000 thoughts a day. What a person allows to occupy his or her thoughts will determine their character. Evil thoughts lead to an evil character. Good thoughts lead to a good character. So if we look at that next to the last bullet point, and that is, if you have 10,000 thoughts a day, what thoughts occupy your attention? Do you sit around and think about, oh, I wish so-and-so wouldn't do that, they just get on my nerves? If you sit around and think about how you can scheme and connive and outdo somebody, if you sit around and you are having lustful thoughts, then these are the things that occupy your mind. It would be very interesting if we could do it, and that is, at the end of the day, have a printout of all our thoughts and have a ledger. And on one side of the ledger be all those thoughts that were pleasing unto the Lord, and on the other side of the ledger, those things that would not have pleased the Lord. You know, I was mindful of it as I sat here today. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm the pastor, right? And I know just sitting there was a couple of thoughts that popped into my mind that shouldn't have came in there. All right, so I don't know, man. Maybe I'm the only honest one around here. I don't. You know, if we all get honest, I expected to hear some other people say amen. But I understand because you didn't want to give yourself away, so I understand. I'll confess this morning that there were some thoughts that, you know, shouldn't have popped into my mind. And so, you know, we're going to even deal with, you know, how do you deal with that kind of thing? You know, when those thoughts come into your mind that God has given us a way to deal with it. So, you know, we're talking about, Lord, help me to overcome these evil thoughts. And if these thoughts dominate our mind most of the day, then it's like that last bullet point said there, that actually, those things are actually working to shape our characters. Now, you know, the Bible has a lot to say about evil thoughts. If you look at just a couple of scriptures that I put up here, that in the days of Noah, right before the flood, it said that the imaginations of the thoughts of men's heart were evil continually, that they continuously had evil thoughts on their mind. That's why God sent a flood to destroy the world, because man's mind was just filled with a bunch of wicked and corrupted and evil thoughts. Jeremiah, he said this, the heart is deceitful. When he was talking about the heart, he wasn't talking to that organ in your body that goes thump, thump. He's talking about your mind. That the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, who can know it? So our hearts are deceitful, that they are filled with wickedness and evil. No matter how godly we proclaim to be or how holy we want people to think we are, that, you know, our thoughts really are something that we struggle with. And the powerful thing about this is, if you can get the victory in your thought life, then holy living is just a matter of walking in the right way. But because we struggle in our thought life, see, we can put on this outward facade where we have a little angel's halo over our head, but deep in our heart, our mind is poking out devil ears, right? So, you know, we can fool people on the outside, but our thoughts, you know, are what actually begin to influence us and take over us. And Jeremiah said that they are wicked and desperately evil. And then Jesus, he talked about this when he said that for out of the heart, again, the mind, out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemy. These are the things which defile an individual. These are the things that corrupt us, these evil thoughts in our heart. Now, when you think about an evil thought, you know, what is an evil thought? Now, I just put up a few right here, and we can go on and on and on. I just want to let you have some idea in case you don't know, like you don't know, what an evil thought is. When you think something sexually immoral, that's an evil thought. When you think about stealing, that's an evil thought. You know, many people, before they steal, they already had the thought about stealing. Murder, evil thought. Adultery, evil thought. Greed, being greedy, that's an evil thought. Malice, when you think to do somebody harm, that's an evil thought. When you try to deceive or trick somebody, when you tell somebody something to get them to do a certain thing or manipulate or deceive them, that's an evil thought. Lewdness, you know, something just immoral and grotesque, that's evil thought. Envy, when you're jealous of somebody, that's an evil thought. Slander, when you think about something against another person that's not verified. You know, you just think, and you got the person tried, sentenced, and condemned for life in your mind. That's an evil thought. Pride, arrogance, foolishness. You know, these things are all evil thoughts. Now, I put a quote up here by this man named Bill Eccles, and he said this: evil thoughts may come or start involuntarily, being occasioned by things we cannot avoid hearing or seeing. Now think about that for a minute, because that's powerful. You remember last week, you know, I talked about being in the world, but not of the world. I talked about that flower in the coal mine, that lily white flower in the coal mine that all this soot had landed on it, and it just rolled off, and the flower was still white because of the character, the nature of the flower. So the fact of the matter is that we hear things and we see things that we cannot avoid. Last week, I gave those lists of ways that people try to attain holiness, and that one was, you know, where people just isolate themselves, right? You think that if you go up into a mountain, get away from folk, or, you know, you just go lock yourself up in your house, then you don't have to deal with anything. You can be holy. And I'll just say, it'd be very easy to be holy like that. That'd be a very easy way to be holy. Just go get away from everybody. The reason that you're not holy, because you got to deal with people, right? You got to rub up against folk. And because of that, you get unholy. But we live in a world where we have to hear and we have to see things. And so they may come unawares by impulses and notions. Now watch this. If we entertain them and cherish them, if we go get the snacks and the drinks and the videos, and we say, well, come on in and have a party. Just come on in and set up. Be at home. You're welcome here. If we entertain them, then we allow our fancies to be tickled. And if we delight in them and find pleasure in them, if we consent to them, then these things become sinful. So they become sinful as we entertain them and as we allow these things to overcome our thought life. So sometimes it's very subtle. It just kind of creeps in, and then the next thing you know it, it's done set up tent, and it has invaded your mind. And now these things, Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, that they actually become strongholds, right? A stronghold in your mind, something that you can't tear down. So let's look at Philippians chapter 4 as we cry out to the Lord, as we cry out to the Lord, Lord, help me not have these evil thoughts. Now, remember last week, we talked about Jonathan Edwards, and we said that Jonathan Edwards, as a 19-year-old young man, made 70 resolutions to be holy, and that at the age of 20, he actually wrote them down. And these resolutions, you can go out on the internet, and if you Google or Yahoo Jonathan Edwards resolutions, they will tell you all 70 that he made. And he tried to read them every day and live by them. So what I have been challenging the congregation with is that, you know, we talked last week about resolutions to a holy life. And so this week, I'd like for you to leave making another resolution. You know, resolve in your mind that the message that you hear today, that there's going to be a resolution that you make as a result of it. Now, I don't know what your resolution was last week. I know I made a resolution, and, you know, thank God that by his grace and power, not by anything that I've done, I was able to keep it. So I'm looking forward to what the Lord is going to lay on my heart this week. What resolution will I make as a result of hearing what God has to say to me today? Here in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, Paul says this: finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. So in Philippians chapter 4, if you have your notes, We give the introduction in there. Paul, he says, finally, and we read the verse. So he begins with this word, finally. Right now, you look, and we're in the fourth chapter of Philippians, almost at the end of the book, and Paul says, finally. To sum it up, now you really, if you should have been listening to what I had to say up until this point, but you really need to perk your ears up and listen to what I'm getting ready to tell you right now. And then he goes on to say, here are some imperative things that you need to know. And that is, as a believer in Jesus Christ, that you are going to have evil thoughts. As a believer in Jesus Christ, you are going to have thoughts that do not please the Lord. Therefore, finally, whatever is left over, finally, my brethren, let me give you some advice to be able to combat those evil thoughts and live a life that's pleasing unto God. So what is Paul's advice for overcoming evil thoughts? Well, I'm going to go right to the end of the verse, right to the very end of the verse. And he says there, think on these things. In order to overcome evil thoughts, Paul says that you must think upon the things that he has just said, the things that are right, the things that are true, the things that are just, that you need to think. This word think is a very interesting word. It's the Greek word logizomai. And it means to meditate upon. It means to ponder intensely. Yeah, I was thinking last night. You know, I hate instructions for things that you got to put together. You know, I don't have a lot of money, but I'd rather pay somebody to put something together than sit there and try to read instructions and figure them out. So my wife and I, we bought a TV stand. And so last night, you know, we were putting it together. And my wife was looking at the instructions. You know, I've come to find out she wasn't reading the instructions, because they don't even put words in anymore. All they do is put pictures and say that this is, you know, you need to do this. And both of us found ourselves looking at these pictures, trying to figure out, now which way is that turned? Now, is that screw supposed to go in there? Is it supposed to go in there? How does that fit into there? And there was a lot of pondering. It was a lot of meditation. And each direction, you know, you wanted to make sure that you did the right thing, because you didn't want to go down the road and do something and then have to come back and undo it. So you were, every thought and every action was calculated very deliberately and very meditatively. You concentrated and you did it and you put the thing together. This is what Paul's saying here. Same concept, same idea right here. Paul said that as a believer in Jesus Christ, that you need to think on the things that would please the Lord. And that there's something in your mind that has overcome you, that has become a stronghold in your life, that you begin to reason, how did that get there? And you begin to root it out. Because these are the things that he says that we should be thinking about. Now, I'm going to go through in a second. I'm going to break them down. But he said that these are the things that we should be thinking about. Now, I put together a little chart to help us consider thoughts that are in our minds. To help us consider thoughts that are in our mind. And it comes from this word media. And I chose media because basically the media is shaping our minds. You know, if you look at the average Christian, you know, we probably spend an inordinate amount of time in front of the television. Or if not in front of the television, riding down the road, looking at signs along the way, listening to the radio. So media has a profound impact and influence on our thoughts and on our minds. And so when we think about the things that are in our minds, what are we thinking about? You know, what are you thinking about? You know, what are some of you thinking about right now? Just think, what's on your thought mind right now? I wish you would hurry up. Is that... You know, or you know, some people, man, I wish he wouldn't have gone there. You know, what thoughts are you having right now? See, whatever is in your mind, you got to ask the Lord. And see, we don't do this. We don't stop and we don't do this and ask the Lord, is what I'm doing pleasing to you? Is the action, are the actions that I'm committing, are they pleasing to you? But how many of us stop during the day and ask the Lord, are my thoughts pleasing unto you? Lord, are my thoughts pleasing unto you? Media, message. What is the message and how is it coming across? What is the message? What is the thought, the message that's in your mind? In effect, what effect is it having on my life? You know, if I have a thought in my mind, you know, what effect is it having on my life? And damage. Will I suffer damage from this? You know, will this lead me to have fantasies? Will it lead me to be angry? Will it lead me to be jealous? You know, what is this thought actually leading me to? Is it leading me to holiness? Is what we're talking about. Is my thought leading me to holiness? Now, again, I already said that there are things that we see and things that we hear that we can't do anything about. They're just going to come there. I don't care where you're at. You know, somebody's going to say something or you want to see something that's going to cause a thought to come into your mind. So you got to ask the question, if I entertain this thought, what kind of damage is it going to do? The eye is instead. Well, what can I substitute this thought with that will be productive in my mind, that will be constructive? Well, is there something that I can substitute this thought with? And then the A is to ask. Ask God, does this glorify him? Would I feel comfortable with my thoughts if Jesus was in my head, which he is, all right? The Lord is in your head, so he already knows. So, but, you know, the thing is, you know, we don't fear a lot of times that which we don't see. You know, we fear man because man, he sees us. He know, he can see what we're doing. But God, he knows what's going on in our mind. So to ask God, does this glorify you? You know, and if it doesn't, then how do you handle that? How do you transition, you know, with that thought to get to a place where God is glorified? So Paul gives us this insight for overcoming the thoughts in our life, the evil thoughts, the wicked thoughts. Now, he comes and he gives us some items, you know, to help us to be able to overcome these thoughts. Now, I tried to put it in a way that would be helpful. So as I put this together, I just didn't want to go through and read a bunch of words because, you know, you say, I read the words and everybody, okay, you know, that sounds good. Some of y'all probably even memorized this verse. If I ask you to quote the verse, some of y'all could probably even quote the verse. But then to tell me what it means, then that's the important thing. And so I tried to put this in such a way to help us to see how what Paul is telling us, what we need to be combating, okay? It's not good to know that we need to think true thoughts or honest thoughts or just thoughts, but how do we combat? Why did Paul tell us this? What is he trying to get us to combat?
Thank you for joining us today on Encouraged in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Lord, help me to not have these evil thoughts. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Lord, help me to not have these evil thoughts, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request, Lord, help me to not have these evil thoughts. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request, Lord, help me to not have these evil thoughts. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877 831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you'd like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.